So we're continuing to think about Jonah and the predicament in which he found himself. But before we come to Jonah in particular, it's worth noting this. As far as church is concerned and what we believe and so on, in respect of those who don't share our beliefs, it's all too easy to fall into the trap of trying to prove that there is a God. People look for proof, scientific age and all of that. They want their curiosity satisfied by an ability to provide proof. And we fall into the trap of playing another person's game. There will be those who want to know, well, what is God like? What sort of a description can we give of God? And we vainly try this, that, and the other way of describing God, and all attempts seem to fall short. And then there will be those who want an explanation. If there is a God, why are things like they are? And we do our best. We do our best to rationalize the fact that the world is as it is and that there is a God. But that's at best unsatisfactory. Leaves people wanting more. It's never quite what people want. And of course, over 2,000 years, there have been those who've attempted to do just this. We're bound to acknowledge that to prove there is a God is impossible. To provide a description of God is at best inadequate, and to explain things in the light of God's existence, at best unsatisfactory. So why is this? Well, it's because God can never be subject to, nor can be the object of any intellectual inquiry. You cannot subject God to forensic examination. It's not possible, because that's not how God is. And yet, for so many, that's the blind alley that they allow themselves to be led into. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves following them down it and sharing their confusion when we reach the brick wall at the end. God can never be subject to, nor the object of, an intellectual inquiry. The Christian faith, on the other hand, and the clue is in the name, the Christian faith dares us to believe that God can become real, but only if and when we are prepared to acknowledge that that is through a direct engagement with God. If you want to know the truth about God, engage with God. Otherwise, you will never know. Having faith, being prepared to believe, taking God on trust. And the way that this is done within the life of the church over the centuries, the way that this is done, the way that has stood the test of time, is through prayer. Prayer is the means by which we can engage directly with God and God with us. In a sense, not us proving God exists, but saying to God, well, God, if you exist, prove yourself to me. I'm going to pray to you. And I want you to make yourself known to me through this activity of prayer. What do we mean by prayer? Well, within a tradition like ours, not so much the regular, repetitive, ritualized recitation of familiar words and phrases. And remember the so-called Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, which we do say every week, and quite properly so. That was given by Jesus to the disciples in response to a question, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them not the words that sum up prayer entirely. It's a template. And if you unpack the words of the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, you will discover that it takes you in all sorts of directions, upwards and downwards and inwards and outwards. That's what the Lord's Prayer does. It takes us off in all sorts of directions. It shouldn't constrain us. It should release us into a dynamic prayer life. It's a means by which we can construct our own personal devotion. No, prayer, real, powerful, and effective prayer, is no more yet no less than our giving vent to our feelings and our emotions, crying out beyond ourselves in the fervent belief, even the desperate hope, that there is a God who is listening. And this brings us to Jonah. Back to Jonah. Now, there is no need for us to be blindsided by wondering just where he was at the time. Was it a whale? Well, the Bible never mentions a whale. Was it a big fish? Well, quite how big? I guess that depends on how big Jonah was. If Jonah was a big man, it would need to be a big fish. If he was a small man, it could be in a smaller fish. Who knows? It's too easy to pour scorn on the story because of the way it's described. And if that's the level at which we operate, we are going to miss an awful lot of what is significant in this particular episode. It doesn't matter. He was somewhere, and it was from there that he cried out to God. From there he prayed to God. And that is the first lesson that this episode teaches us. It was from where he was that he prayed. His prayer was determined by the circumstances, the situation in which he found himself. When we pray, we don't remove ourselves to another place, to another context, to another situation in order to say our prayers. If prayer is to be effective, it emerges out of the situation in which we find ourselves. And so, as we hinted at earlier in the service, there will be times when our situation and circumstance is one of rejoicing. We have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you, God, for X, Y, and Z. We shouldn't hold back on saying thank you for what we enjoy. On other occasions, there will be time to be sorrowful. We will be going through experiences which are physically painful, emotionally difficult, spiritually draining. At that time, we cry out to God in a very different way. Our prayers emerge from the circumstance in which we find ourselves at the particular time. And all of us are at a different place in every time. That's why prayer is intensely personal, and so it ought to be. If we take the text at face value, none of us have been where Jonah was. If we take the text at a deeper level, I imagine we've all been where Jonah was at that particular time. He was in a mess. It needed to be sorted out. He imagined it was God's fault. Why else would he be in such a predicament? We've all been there. Those situations in life when we've no one else to blame but God, it must be God's fault. But why? Well, it might have been because of what he had done. It may be that God had inflicted this upon him as a consequence of his own action, and so he would have no complaint. Rather than complain, all he could do was confess. Okay, I'm in a mess. It's a mess of my own making. Now get me out of it. That's as good a prayer as any, really, isn't it? I'm in a mess. It's a mess of my own making. get me out of it. That cuts right through Jonah's experience at this time. The realization that what was happening to him was a consequence of what he had done. He had this awful feeling that God had abandoned him to the consequences of his action. Yes, he was prepared to take the blame, but I thought I was banished from your sight, should never again look towards your temple. But what happens in the prayer? There's a shift in the dynamic. When he's brought to that moment, the realization that in fact he would have no complaint against God if things continued to be as bad as they were because it was his own fault. Having been brought to that point of self-realization, suddenly there's awakened within him the fact that, yet you brought me up, Lord my God, alive from the pit. As my senses failed, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer reached you in your holy temple. At our lowest point, we are raised to the highest point. At our lowest, we are raised to the highest. Prayer confronts us with the awful truth concerning who we really are. Prayer holds a mirror up to each one of us and dares us to see ourselves as we really are. People are very polite, you know, other people. It doesn't matter how bad you look, they'll tell you that you look nice. They'll find something positive to say about you. They may have to work hard with people like me, but eventually they'll land on something and say, well, it's a nice tie. The shoes don't look too bad. I suppose your hair with a bit of attention could turn into something reasonable. No, I mean, we are very polite. We will always look for something good to say about people. It's a brave person who comes up to someone and says, you look a mess. But when we look in the mirror, we realize just how we look. And there's a sense in which prayer holds a mirror up to us and dares us to see ourselves as we really are. But in the seeing, in the moment, the mirror dissolves into a window and we are given to see beyond ourselves. But what do we see when we see beyond ourselves? Do we see God? No. No one has seen God. God remains forever hidden from our sight. We sing in the hymn book, 'Tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. God is beyond our seeing. So when we look into the window, there is no God to see. No, we see a reflection of ourselves. But now, not as we have seen ourselves in the mirror, but rather as God sees us. That's how prayer works. Confronted with who we are, and then given the opportunity to realize we can be as God sees us. What Isaiah talked about, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. However we see ourselves, however uncomfortable that is, God sees us differently. Because God is not as we are. The ways of God are not our ways. Prayer reminds us of who we are, yes, what we have become. But prayer gives us the opportunity to discover what we ought to be and what we can be. And God allows us the time and the space necessary for us to engage in this journey of what we might call self-discovery. A journey that ends with us realizing that only God could have made this possible for us. In the end, God. With hindsight, in the end, God. For Jonah, this journey, illustrated by his having been thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish, caused him to realize that even though he had sought to thwart God's intention, He would have done anything to get out of having to go to Nineveh. It didn't matter what it cost. He was not going to Nineveh, even though God wanted him to go there. He would not go. He would do anything to thwart God's intention. But he came to realize, nevertheless, God would not be thwarted as far as his care and concern for Jonah was concerned. I, with hymns of praise, shall offer sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I shall fulfill. Victory is the Lord's. Or as the psalmist puts it, if I go to the ends of the earth, you are there. No hiding place. Wherever I am, God is. The reassurance of prayer. And it is when Jonah comes to this point, the realization that in spite of what he had become, rather than God abandon him to his fate, that he remained precious to God, that particular journey ended. And in the colorful language of the text, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah out onto the beach. Lesson time was over. The learning experience was complete. The journey of self-discovery was over. Jonah had been brought through all of this for the particular purpose that God had in mind.